So go ahead and grab out your Bibles and something to take some notes with. I always say every week, if you'd like a fill-in-the-blank version of the notes, you can pick the Victory Church app. But this morning, there's some problems with the notes version. And so if you click it and you don't see a fill-in-the-blank version, just back out and click on that Take a Note button. There's two different buttons, and it's just a blank slate. I know that's a little scary for some people, but you can take notes there as well. Still your device, still on a phone, but it's just a blank slate of it. But if they get it fixed and you do see the fill in the blank, forget I said anything. All right, everybody. So that's on there to follow along. We've got 2 weeks left of our Summer at Victory series today and next Sunday. That doesn't mean that the summer heat will go away. It will still be a billion degrees all the way to October. But that does mean we're finishing up the summer series. I'm excited about August. August 4th starts off our 7 days of prayer. And honestly, the series in August and the worship, we have a lot of fun things planned to kind of merge the two and do some things. I'm so excited about. And so be here August 4th. It's going to be an incredible kickoff to that as we start that series. But we still have 2 weeks left of the summer series. I've told you every week, these are not really connected. It's just some topics each week that I think are important for us to discuss as a church, but maybe don't need an entire series. I think if I did an entire series, you would just walk out on me for all of these. But I think one Sunday is enough, about once a year, to talk about some of these things and really just put some things into place. And so I've been thinking all summer, I've been kind of trying to pick the Sunday because I've been really wanting to do a sermon on parenting. Come on, somebody. And I think it'd be something good for us to do. Now, listen to me before you check out on me. First things first. This is not a sermon based on my parenting. Come on, somebody. Because yes, I have kids, but we are flying this thing blind. Come on. That's just how the way it is. Second thing, my son Elijah sits up here on the front row, my oldest son. And he is happy to do interviews with you after service about my parenting. Yeah, if you would like to ask questions about my parenting, he is available and happy to do it. Come on, somebody. He would love to give the reviews to you afterwards. But that's not what today is, all right? This is not me getting up here and telling you how I have found all of the secrets by myself. It's all my doing. That's not what this is. We're going to look at a story in the Bible, and we're going to learn from God's word. Come on, somebody. That's how we're going to learn, because all of us need it. And I'll talk a little bit more too. Don't check out on me if you are not a parent or not a parent yet. Or if you just, don't check out. We're going to talk about that as well. I think I have a word for all of us today. I think this is something we can all learn from today as we talk about it. Because again, the depth of my parenting wisdom is not what's on display today. It's going to be God's word. All right, we're going to learn together. And we're going to learn out of a story in the Bible, out of Exodus. You can turn to Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to learn a little bit about Exodus. We're going to learn a little bit of the story of Moses, but more about Moses and his parents. And maybe most importantly, Moses and his mama. Come on, somebody. That's just the way this story seems to go. So Exodus chapter 1, we find the nation of Israel in a terrible condition. So you can remember, we've studied this before, how Joseph rescues not only the nation, rescues the whole known world at the time by becoming the second in command of Egypt. You remember the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine. And so Joseph brings the children of Israel, such as they were, the family, he brings them to Egypt to live there. And God begins to bless them while they live there, as he promised Abraham that he would. And so he blesses them. They begin to multiply in the land of Egypt. They begin to become blessed and wealthy, and they begin to prosper, as God promised that they would. Well, wouldn't you know it, a Pharaoh rises up in the land who has no memory of Joseph. And he and the people become so threatened by the nation of Israel, by their numbers and by their prosperity and by all that God is doing through them, so threatened that they decide we can't have this in our land. We can't have this group of people be free. And so they enslave them. Forgets all about what Joseph did to rescue the nation to begin with. Enslaves the people and begins to work them mercilessly. So this is where the children of Israel, this is where Moses is about to be born into. But not only that, not only like treating them poorly and making them slaves and doing all of this, but the Pharaoh goes one step forward. And this is what he tells, chapter 1. He tells the Hebrew midwives, watch this. The king of Egypt says to them, whose names were Hardword and Hardword. I'm not even going to try that this morning, all right? You can do that sometimes when you're reading the Bible. God knows, it's fine. When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth, if you see the baby as a boy, kill him, but a girl, let her live. Watch this. Pharaoh tells these Hebrew midwives, in this attempt to basically wipe out a generation, So to basically like completely just destroy a generation. He still wants slaves, but he wants to wipe out a generation. And so watch what Pharaoh, he tells them, you can kill them, destroy them. Every boy born in the land to try to, and this speaks honestly, I think, to culture today. The devil doesn't have any new tricks. And you just need to understand, the devil doesn't necessarily discriminate between boys and girls. That's not what this is about. What he discriminates again is he hates the next generation. He hates the future. He hates life. The Bible says he comes, his only aim is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so we have to understand, the devil hates all of us, but more than anything, he hates the next generation. He hates the future. But the midwives, watch this, he's trying to wipe out a generation. The midwives don't do it. They come back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, why aren't you doing this? And they come back, and honestly, they give one of the funniest answers. They're like, these Hebrew women just have babies too fast. Like, we're going, we're trying to get there, and they just have the baby. We just can't get there fast enough. Like, no epidural, no nothing. They're just popping them out. That's just the way it is. And so the Pharaoh is incensed with them, but God protects the midwives because they're doing what is righteous. And so then Pharaoh comes along the way, and he tells all of the people. So he tried it this one way. Then verse 22, watch this. Or in verse 22, he goes and he says, he gives a sword. Every Hebrew boy must be thrown into the river Nile. So verse 22 of chapter 1, he says, every boy thrown into the river Nile. Again, after the future. Because the thing that's fascinating is when God wants to rescue a generation, when God wants to do something, a revival to come, it always comes through people that he uses. He always raises up a leader. And so you see this same pattern happen when Moses is about to be born, when Jesus is about to be born. The devil trying to wipe out an entire generation. And I'm just telling you, our world is primed for another revival. Our world is primed for another breakthrough, another move of God in our nation. So the devil is trying to wipe out. It's why he's attacking our children. It's why he's bringing in the perversion and the things that he is, because he's not doing anything else but trying to wipe out the next generation in the future, because he does not want the Moses to slip through. He doesn't want this to happen. And so here's the devil trying to make sure that Moses never even gets born. And that takes us to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. This is where our story begins. So watch this. Verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Remember that. That's important later on. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And so when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 weeks. I'm going to drink my tea because my voice is going out on me. Come on, somebody. So if you see me chugging this today, just know it's to save your ears from my scratchy voice. That's the way it's going to work. So now this man of Levi, he marries a Levite woman. They have a birth. It's a son. And when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Several principles I'm going to give you today. That I think are important to be confident in your parenting. Now listen to me, parents. This is stuff that you probably already intuitively know. This is something you probably already... I just want to give you the confidence, honestly, to do what you already know is right. I think that's how this message is going to go. If it makes sense, it made sense in my head, all right? So that's what I really want to do. Now listen to me. If you're not raising kids, you can use this for a grandchild or a niece or a nephew. If you're a teacher or a coach, I think all of this is applicable for you. Now, if you have not been blessed with children, or you are not married yet, or you are single, or you are just got married, you don't have... Whatever situation you're in, honestly, I think that this message will speak to all of us, because the devil doesn't have different tricks. I think the attack he brings against our children, he brings against us as well. And so listen, for whatever situation you're in life, wherever you are, I think we can all learn from this today. But the first thing we see here is this mother saw that there was something great in this child. So jot it down if you're taking notes, or fill in the blank if the notes are working. Jot this down. First thing we do is we need to look for greatness in our children. First thing you have to do is you look for greatness. And that word saw in the Hebrew, it means to perceive or to have vision. Like something in the future. It means to like see something that's coming, to perceive something. And I love how parents, especially moms, can look into a child's life and perceive like giftings and talents and abilities and blessings that the rest of us don't see. Come on, somebody. You moms, so you see a better looking child than the rest of us see. Come on, somebody. Like you just, that's just the way it seems. I love how parents can look and see something. Moses' mom saw something special about him. She saw something worth saving. Watch this in Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about this, the book of faith. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. because they saw that he was no ordinary child. I want you to see today, and I want you to understand today, there is no such thing as an ordinary child. Every single child was born on purpose and for a purpose in the kingdom of God. That God does not make mistakes and he does not make accidents. Every single child has a purpose. And so we have to begin to call greatness out of them. We have to recognize the greatness. We have to recognize how incredible it is. David said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearfully means to be in reverence or in awe of God. And then that word wonderfully in the Hebrew means to be set apart or unique. That every single child born on purpose and for a purpose, listen to me, every single person, every person in this room, every person watching online, you were made on purpose and for a purpose. That God loves you, that he created you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and he has a purpose for you. I don't care how many people try to tell you that you're worthless, how many people try to tell you there's no hope for you. You are made by God for a purpose. That he has his hand on your life. And listen, parents, you have a world out there that would love to tell your child that they will never stand out, that they will never make an impact. So why bother even trying? It is our job to look them in the eyes and to tell them they will be a history maker and a world changer because God's hand is on their life. That they have a purpose to live. It is our job to look at them. If you serve in our kids' ministries, our youth, our kids' zone, our nursery, it is our job as the people of God to look every child in the eye and tell them God made them on purpose and for a purpose. That they will change the world because they will learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. They will learn to be in God's word. They'll walk in step with what he has for them. He'll light their path. He'll lead them in what he has for them to do. And they will make an impact on this world. They will make a difference for the kingdom of God. They will leave their mark. Every single person. That's true, but the devil wants to tell you that you won't, that you're damaged goods, that you're too far gone, that you won't make an impact, that you just could never live an overcoming life. You could never do those things. That's great for everybody else, but it could never happen for you. And yet here we have the story of a slave who changes not only the course of a generation, but the course of history. We have a story of someone who comes from one of the darkest moments in human history and is a world changer. Because God's hand is on his life. In the New Testament, Ephesians, watch this. It says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared, watch this, in advance for us to do. You know this verse, you read the study of this verse. It's the idea that God is molding and shaping your life. Like your giftings and your talents. The way that he made you, he's not only molding and changing and doing it, but then he's placing you at the right time in the right place to make the difference he's called you to make. Now, get this, it's God knew the times and the places, the Bible says, that each man should live. God knows where he placed you, he knows how he gifted you, and he knows the difference he's called you to make in this world. That thousands and thousands of years ago, in advance already, that God knew. That God already was like looking around and he's looking and he's like, okay, in 2024, they're going to need an Elijah. And they're going to give him this gifting and this talent because he's going to make a difference in these people. It's this idea that in this world, God knew I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that. And I'm going to place them at the right time that they can make a difference. And each one of you, God knew the giftings, God knew the talents, each one of you that God prepared, that God made a difference. He prepared in advance. That your life is very intentional. And parents, it's our job to call that greatness out of our kids. To look for that. It would have been easy for Moses' mom to believe that his life was expendable. Honestly, it would have been very easy in this day and age. You read the story of what they're in right now. What Pharaoh is commanding that they do. What the rest of the people around them are doing. It would have been easy to think that they're expendable. And even in today's culture, we are moving dangerously close. And it's happened in pockets around the world in some of the darkest moments of our even modern history. We are moving dangerously close to the idea of eugenics. Of this idea, well, if that child is not desirable or if that thing is not worth giving time to or it's not worth the effort that would be taken, there's no reason to give all of your life or all of your time. Let's just go ahead and weed those things out. She could have looked at Moses through that lens. Because the Bible tells us, first of all, let's just forget Pharaoh's edict for a moment. First of all, they were Levites. I don't know if you know this or not about the Israelite history. The Levites had a curse on their line. There's a curse that's given all the way back to Jacob or Israel, the father of the nation. He begins to semi-bless his son, but he also gives some curses to some. Back in verse, watch this in Genesis chapter 49. He's giving these two other things. He says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger. You know where that comes from? It was interesting. We were reading last night earlier in Genesis, like 20 chapters before this. These two brothers, they kill an entire city because of the sin of one person. And they do it like rashly. And when Jacob finds out, he's like very upset. But they just destroy the entire city, everyone, because of just the sin of one man in their anger. And so watch as he's telling, this is where this comes from. So now he's saying, they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they please. Cursed be their anger, fierce, their fury cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. That's their blessing. Come on, somebody. That's just a great... Cursed be their anger. And so this Levite man marries this Levite woman. She could have very easily said, all right, we've had this child. It's a boy. And we're supposed to throw him in the river anyway. And even if we do, Lord knows he's going to have all of these anger issues and all of this curse on his life to begin with. And so it's just not worth the effort. It's just not worth the time. He's going to have all of these massive problems, all of these things. Listen to me. Society will say these types of things about your children. They will say, well, that's just the angry child. That's just the annoying child. That's just the kid that nobody wants to deal with. Let's just get rid of. Let's just make through whatever we have to do. Let's just leave them alone. Just manage until we can just kick them out of the house. Let's just manage until they're just not in the class anymore. Let's just manage until, and they will say things about these children. They say, it's not worth the effort. It's not worth the time you would put in. They'll never be normal anyway. Listen to me very closely, everybody. Your kids are not normal anyway. Come on, somebody. Like, they're just not. All dads are like, amen. That's just good, brother. Moms are a little offended. You're like, no, my kids are amazing. You just don't know what. Moses' mom very easily could have written him off. Could have said he's going to have these issues, this curse on his anger. Listen to me. What's so fascinating about Moses. Yeah, there's a curse on the Levite line. Yeah, there's a curse of anger and passion. You watch this show itself in his life, but it's that very same passion that God changes and uses to set his people free. That curse, that emotion, that anger, that passion, whatever it was, God uses that in Moses to set his people free. And so there are things we look at and you're like, well, that's just my child. And they just do this and that thing. It will serve them very well. When God gets a hold of them, he will turn what people have written off and what people have placed in them that everybody else says, well, it'll never happen. It's not worth the effort. God will turn it to use it for what he has called them to do. And that same thing, that same curse that was in Moses, God uses it on purpose and for a purpose. And parents, it's our job to help our kids discover it. And listen to me, if that didn't happen in your family growing up, the family of God is here to help you recognize the gifts and the talents that God has in you, to recognize the greatness that's on the inside of you, that you are on purpose for a purpose, that God is for you and not against you, that you can make a difference in this world, that God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Back to our text, verse 2, she saw that he was a fine child. And so she hid him for 3 months. Second thing we do as parents, we need to fight for our children. We need to fight for them. Don't just see greatness on the inside of them. Do what it takes to protect them. Like, don't just like call out the greatness. Actually do what it takes to protect them. Now listen, in the culture of that day, the requirement was that you would throw them in the river. That's what the requirement, the demand of the king, the thing that everybody else around them was doing was to throw the baby boys in the river. It's just what you do. This is what the expectation was. But just because it's what the world is telling you to do, and just because it's what everybody else is doing, it does not make it right. It does not. And so Moses' parents are living. Everybody else is throwing the boys in the river. Everybody else is following. It's what they've been commanded to do. It's what society is doing. We have a responsibility as parents to protect our children. Listen, you have a responsibility as children, as parents, to allow them to be children. Like to be children. I'm going to just get on my soapbox for a little bit. I didn't know if I was going to do this or not. But let me just get on this because I, honestly, this is something that I am sick and tired of the devil introducing all kinds of twisted perversion and sickness into the world and us allowing it to affect our children at earlier and earlier ages. Like we being exposed to things they never should. It's okay to leave them as children. Like, I don't know where we crossed that line, and I don't know when we forded that river or whatever it is. It's okay to let them stay children. Like, they don't have to act like a 21-year-old when they're 7. Now, the sarcasm will come. Come on, somebody. It's going to just work its way in already. But I'm saying the things that we expose them to, the things that we allow them to have, it's okay to keep them young. And I think sometimes we think, well, no, we're going to mess our kids up and they're just not going to be quote unquote normal. And they're just not going to have the things that other kids have. We just have to make sure what we're doing, listen to me, what we're doing is messing them up. When we're allowing them earlier and earlier and we give them devices and we give them accounts on social media that violate the requirements of the platform itself. Like, set aside God's word for just a moment. It's shocking you. Like, we'll come back to it in just a second. But the idea that we would allow them on platforms and devices, we would allow them into places that even the world says is too young. But we give them accounts. Like, forget that we're even Christian. Forget all of that. Just even the world comes out and says, every study, everything says it's too young, it's too thin. So we're going to set these requirements. And we bypass all of those. Like, we've set aside our morals, forget like even what we believe. We're just bypassing all of those things because it's easier. It's easier. We could come up with 800 different things about they're going to do this. It's just, it is easier. But it's our job as parents to protect our kids. And so what are we doing as Christian parents when we just hand them the world and everything and the devil gets to twist their brain at an age that even the world says is too young? And I was thinking it through this. Like, it's okay. I want to give you confidence because intuitively we know what's right, but it's hard sometimes. It's okay to say no to a device or to an account when they're not even old enough, like, to remember to drink water. Come on, somebody. Or to eat food. Like, we have to remind our kids all the time, like, you drink water today? Did you drink water? Like, before you, did you eat food? Like, did you eat a thing? And I thought about, this just came to me, like, Alyssa still has to do that for me. Come on, somebody. Which will preach all by itself. I told you this message is for everybody. Which is why I am not on social media. Come on, somebody. That's just the reason that I exist. We got to raise our kids in a different way. We got to say no to some things. It's required that we have faith. Watch this in Hebrews 11. Go back to our verse. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I think sometimes as parents, as too many of us, we're afraid of the outcome of our decision. Well, what if my kids are the only ones who do this? Or what if they miss out on that? Or what if they didn't get to do this? At the end of the day, listen to me. At the end of the day, we have to recognize that all of the things the devil is doing in this world, all the things he's introducing and exposing, all of those things are simply throwing our children in the river. All of the perversion, all of the twisted, it is, if we go along with it, we are throwing our children in the river. We need to protect our kids. And just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. If we raise our kids like the world does, we will get the outcomes that the world gets. If we do these things, and we can fight, we can protect. But verse 3, watch this. There was a point that she could hide him no longer. So she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed it. 3 months she's hidden him, but now she can hide him no longer. And coated it with tar and pitch. She placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Look, I know we have to live in the world. We just don't have to be of it. And so there will come a time where you take your children and place them in the river. If the river is the world, if the river is where we have to live, if the river is this environment that we're in, what everybody, listen, if the river is what everybody is doing, the river is where you have to be, you don't have to dump them in before they're ready. Moses' mom, she didn't like take him to the river and say, well, okay, you're 3 months old, good luck. No, we can do some things to protect them. We can do some things, even when they are out in the world, even when we are sending them to their schools and to their place, there are things we can do. You need to give them, jot it down if you're taking notes, some tools for success. You can protect them. So his mom takes him to the river, and she's not like with all the others with the newborns throwing him in. She doesn't take him, and she's like, okay, you're 3 months now throwing him in. No, this mom takes him. She's like, let's put him in a basket. Let's put some things around him. Let's coat this thing. Let's make some papyrus. Let's do whatever it is. Let's make sure he's able to float instead of sink. Let's protect him. We got to build some protection for our kids. Jot it down if you're taking notes. Innocence is not ignorance. Like, I'm not saying your kids shouldn't understand how the world works. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think we can raise godly kids who understand the struggles of the world around them and the people that they're interacting with. I think that is a very doable thing. I'm just saying you can raise godly kids. You can have those conversations about the things that they might walk through, or the things that we struggle with, or the things that we have, before they hear about it from their friends first. You can have those conversations. I think that's very possible. And it starts, we can give them the tools, but it starts with God's word. And I think too often we think, well, I'll just give them all the things that I learned, if I can remember half of them, and I'll just give out. No, it starts with God's word. And watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, memorize. Parents, this is our job. Memorize God's laws and tell them to your children over and over again. So like, he didn't let you off the hook of just like a one time, like read it through once and you're good. He says over and over, talk about them all of the time. Whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. He says talk about God's laws. Talk about his word. It's important not just to throw our kids at the church and say, well, you do the spiritual part. And we throw our kids at the school. You do the education part and after school activities or whatever it is. You do the coaching part or the personality development part or the character development. All of it is our part as parents. All of it is our part to pour into our kids. And we'll talk about it in a moment. It is important to have those around them. But it starts with us. That we would memorize God's laws. That they need to watch us. They need to be able to see a responsibility. Not just a Sunday thing. That Christianity, that following Jesus is an everyday thing. As you're walking on the road, as you're going to bed, as you're waking up at night. David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is an everyday following Jesus thing. We got to teach them the foundation of God's word, give them the tools so they can be successful. And then verse 4, his mom puts him in this basket. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. I love this part. Another thing is, parents, jot it down, we need to recruit a team around them. And we are called to do team to watch out for them. I love there's an older sister in this story to watch his back. I'm just telling you, it takes more than a parent to raise a child. It takes a community to raise. And of course, as parents, we will sit down and we will walk through everything with them. We will talk about things. We will do. But they need some other people around them pouring some wisdom into them. They got to have some godly people in their corner. That's why it's so important to get them in the house of God. It's so important to recruit a team of God. They need coaches and teachers and pastors and aunts and uncles and grandparents. They need people of God who are going to pour some wisdom in them, because Lord knows they're going to need some godly wisdom in their life. And we got to recruit people around them that will pour into them, that will walk through some things, some examples, that they'll come into God's house. They'll serve alongside of others who are serving the Lord. They'll see people raising holy hands in worship to God. And they'll begin to see examples of what a godly man and a godly woman should be. They'll begin to see these. You got to recruit a team around your kids that they begin to grow in the knowledge of God. They need godly input. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. And usually we stop there, but it says, they who walk in the company of the wise will grow wise. Got to get a team around them. Don't just shelter them from the bad influence. You got to get some good things in their life. Some people speaking the life of God into them. The purpose of God into their lives in the right environment. They got to discover their passions. You got to get a team around your kids. Verse 5. She gets him in the basket. She floats him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And her attendants are walking along the riverbank. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave to get it. And they opened it and saw the baby crying. And she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. And so here comes running one of the team. Come on, somebody. This will preach all by itself. His sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Go, she answered. And so the girl went, and she got, who did she get? She got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. How many moms in the house would love to get paid to take care of your own kids? Come on, somebody. That's the biggest miracle of the whole story. And I will pay you. So the woman took the baby, and she nursed him. And watch, and the child grew older. She took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. All the protection, all the preparation, all the work is simply because eventually, parents, we have to release them to their purpose. Probably the hardest moment of this story, I think, Like, she's done a lot of things. All this, I can't imagine how painful this moment is. She has risked her life to keep her son alive. She has rescued him back from what must have felt what was the jaws of death. She's nursed him. She's raised him, nursed him herself. But there came a day, once and for all, she had to let him go. And when she did, I can't imagine how painful or scary that moment was, because he's going to go live in the palace. He's going to go be another woman's son. She's going to go be named by another woman. But this mother, who's so kind and so generous, who this story doesn't even tell us her name, once and for all, she's willing to let him go. And so listen to me. Some of you parents, you need to protect your kids more. You need to draw them a little bit closer. Some of you, you got to let them go. If you got a 35-year-old in your rec room, it's time to kick him out in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Because you may be keeping them from God's purpose for their life. Because all the things we do, all the preparation, all of the sacrifice, all the protection, all the fighting, all the things we talked about, fighting to keep them protected, all the things to maintain their innocence, to do all that stuff is so you can eventually release them to their purpose. That God has his hand on their lives, the same as everybody else's, that they would walk in his purpose for them. And so as parents, we have to recognize the destiny God has for them and release them to it. Acts chapter 7, this is Stephen's testimony as we close today. He says, as the time grew near, the first martyr of the church, for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people had greatly increased. He's telling the story, and a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power. And in Egypt, he dwelt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors and forced them to throw the newborn baby so that they would die. And at that time, Moses was born. No ordinary child, for 3 months cared for by his family. And when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Now watch this. And Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. See, Moses received the training that he needed to fulfill the destiny God had for his life right there in Pharaoh's house. It's a hard thing to reconcile, the education and the training and the things that he needed right there in Pharaoh's house, but his mom had to let him go. Parents, I believe your children were made for more. I believe the devil's after him because he's trying to wipe out whatever God is trying to do in this generation. I believe he's trying to bring an attack on the next generation. I just want to encourage you, keep up the fight because it's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. But we have to learn to protect our children. We got to learn that it's okay to be different. Because listen to me, normal's not working anyway. It's okay to raise them differently. It's okay to speak and to do things differently. It's okay to protect your kids. Let's get them in the right environments. Let's get them surrounded by people of God that's going to speak into their lives. Let's build them up. Let's protect them. And then when it's time, let's release them to the call that God has for every single one of them. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray today. I just want to pray as we close out this service. I want to ask God to touch those of you who are in that fight right now, raising those kids. I want to pray also for those children. But first, I want to pray for the parents of those children who are far from God today. That God would encourage and strengthen your heart. I want to pray for those of you, and maybe your dream of becoming a parent hasn't become realized yet, and you're hurting in that season. I want to pray God's love and encouragement all around you. And I do want to pray for those kids who have run far from God. For whatever reason, that they are as far from Him. I want to pray that God would bring people across their path. For the prodigals. But first, I want to pray, and I think that there are some of you here today, and you're the one that's far from God. And maybe there's somebody praying for you. Maybe there's a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or uncle. Or there's somebody who's been praying, and I don't know why you ran in the first place. I don't know how far you've actually gone. I don't know where you find yourself. But I know there are some of you that say, I'm as far from God as I've ever been. And Pastor, it sounds nice when you say all those things, and I feel like maybe there was a possibility about halfway through the sermon, but you just don't understand, Pastor. You don't get where I am. And so it's great. It's great for all those prodigals who only ran a little bit. It's great for all those who made a few mistakes and now they just want to say sorry, but it's not enough for me. Listen to me. I don't care how far you've run, and I don't care what you think you've done, and I don't care how far you think you are. The forgiveness of Jesus, the forgiveness that wipes you clean, the salvation that makes your eternity secure is available to everyone. There is no one too far gone. It is never too late. And so right now, if you say, well, I'm so far from Him, I don't even know what to do. I've ran so far. I burned every bridge. I did everything. I don't know what to do. Listen to me. The Bible says Jesus loved you so much that the perfect Son of God gave His life in your place. You say, I don't know what the price is for my... I don't know what I have to do to make right. Listen to me. There was a price. And it's greater than you could possibly imagine. And it's greater than you could ever pay. But Jesus paid it in your place. He gave His life in the place of yours. And then He reaches His hand out to you. And He offers forgiveness. He paid the price. The Bible says He died on a cross and they buried Him. But He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, He raised to life so that anyone could call on the name of Jesus and be set free. Anyone, including you, including me, could call on the name of Jesus and be saved. If you don't know what that looks like right now, we're going to pray. As a church, we're going to call on the name of Jesus. And I would invite you, I would beg you, in this moment, you can be made right with God. In this moment, He can wipe you clean of all of your sins. And it is our honor as a church to pray this prayer with you. So right now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to make you stand or come to the front. I'm not in this to embarrass you. Right now, you get to make a decision right where you're sitting. You get to decide if you're going to follow Jesus. So come on, church, let's pray this with them. Nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose again. And I make You the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray today. I pray for parents, God, that You would touch them, strengthen them, encourage them in a supernatural way as they continue to fight for their children. Lord, help them know they're on the right path and that they're not crazy. That we can be different, that we can protect our kids. Give us the strength and the wisdom to do it. Thank You, God, as we call out greatness in our children. God, for those who have children who are far from You today, God, we pray that You would give them grace and strength to continue to fight the good fight on their knees in prayer. Lord, for those praying to become parents and it hasn't taken place, God, I pray Your comfort and Your peace. That You would touch them. Do a miracle, God. That You would encourage them and strengthen their hearts. God, we pray for our children who are far from You. Lord, we ask You would send people across their path that would open their eyes to the knowledge of the gospel. You would send people to touch their lives, to show them the heart of the Father. Right now where they are, God, You would send someone right now, today, You would send someone across their path to speak the words of life, to show them that they are loved, to bring them back. And God, I pray that they would turn their eyes back home. And Lord, one more time, as a church, we thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're going to do, that you love us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, let's give God praise for what he's done today. Amen.